Your brand deserves better than one-size-fits-all branded clothing. Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your team will want to wear. Backed by above and beyond expertise, go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product.
If Didier Deschamps were to leave and Zinedine Zidane were available and he was not picked by the French Federation, the headquarters of the French Federation would have to look at what happened at the Bastille.
OTB AM, live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Past nine this morning, Graham Hunter is with us. Graham, good morning to you. How are you?
Top form, thanks, Chair.
The return of the Champions League and Leo Messi last night setting the whole thing aflame over match day two. We couldn't really have asked for much more in terms of drama and intrigue. One of the things that kind of flew under the radar here, and we'll get your opinion on Messi in a moment, but was Athletic and their performance against Milan. 1-0 down, a man up. It was like, well, this is going to be one of those things where we actually see if they're still going to be as good this season as we think they might be. The result in the box score says last minute penalty, it's deep, deep, deep into stoppage time, gives them a 2-1 win away from home. What's the consensus on the quality of the performance and how did they actually play?
Yeah, it's both the big Spanish results from last night fit into a pattern, Chair. I'd love to be able to say I can diagnose it for you and this is the recipe everybody needs to take away for the remainder of the season, but all of the Spanish sides had looked multi-personalityed. There have been moments when Atleti have looked gorgeous. There's been one moment when Barcelona have looked exceptional, and that was at the weekend. And there have been moments when Real Madrid have looked as if they're rediscovering their personality, as if when Carvajal is back, when Valverde is full of vim and vigour, when Camavinga gives his cameos, Vinicius' development, they look fantastic too. And there have been times when each of the two Madrid teams, and you were picking on Atleti, have had to get out of jail. Atleti have either been drawing 0-0 or getting out of jail really late in games all through the season. Real Madrid, I think, eight times have now scored beyond the 85th minute in this season, both domestic and European. And the way in which Atleti's performance is being received is that this was a step ahead compared to where they have either been in games or dominated games and drawn 0-0. Their ability to unpick a defensive side, once Milan started to pack their defence with 10 men and 1-0 up, made such a difference. The way that, for example, Griezmann has been lambasted, and I mean really taken to task unfairly, in the way that Asprilla was blamed as the only reason Newcastle didn't win the title against Manchester United that season. And if you speak to Newcastle players at the time, they all said, that's absolute rubbish. And how Cantona was the missing factor that won Leeds the title when they won the last ever league before the Premier League. And you speak to Leeds players, they're like, he made cameo appearances. Look at his number of minutes. Anyway, Griezmann arriving back at Atleti, both fans, media, and some ex-player pundits have been saying, Griezmann disrupts things, he slows things down, there isn't a proper position for him anymore. Forgetting all the time that although he had no shots on target, no meaningful contributions to Atleti's games, in the bridge in between moving from Barcelona to Atleti, he played gorgeously for France. So getting the goal last night in the stadium where he hit the bar in the Champions League final, and I've interviewed him on that subject, he still castigates himself for that, still believes Atleti would have won the first ever Champions League final had he took that penalty away against Madrid 6 years ago now, I think it is. So him scoring and Lemar coming on and making a difference, because Lemar, for those, again, if Lemar, the French international, has flown under the radar for you in Ireland, don't let that happen anymore. He was the record transfer from Monaco. When he came, he looked good in the first season with Griezmann still at the club. As soon as Griezmann went away, Lemar seemed to lose interest. He was pale in terms of contributions to matches. Over the last season and a half, he's been exceptional, to the point at which he's easily in one of Atleti's best 3-4, most meaningful 3-4 players. Last couple of games he's been out injured, you notice the difference, the ability, particularly the ability to unpick defences, those runs that maybe take a 1-2 pass or runs where a deliverer of a pass can find the Frenchman. He made a big difference when he came on last night. Penalty tucked away, 2-1 win. It's a gigantic thing psychologically to win at San Siro after losing to Madrid in the Champions League final there. Griezmann to perform, to win against a bank 10 defence. it isn't simply just a huge 3 points. People are hailing it as a potential psychological breakthrough for this team, which it has an extraordinary squad. I'm not saying they're going to win the Champions League, but if you're looking at Spain right now and saying, where does the threat of the Champions League potentially come, Atleti's squad is gorgeous.
Real Madrid then, Graham. I mean, it's you talk about get out of jail. I didn't see the full game. I think everybody is kind of in the same boat as myself. We all just saw that wonder goal to win it. If you look at SofaScore, who give you the up and downs of the flow of the game, seeing who was in charge throughout, I think Sheriff maybe had one little peak. Not even for their two goals, they had one little peak, and the second goal came out of nothing. The entire thing was Real Madrid. So is it fair to say that this was just a total freak, and we can bury this and forget about it?
The first thing to say, given that I know you two love a bit, and Kenny loves a bit of Schadenfreude, you have to imagine Schifrin, the UEFA chief, let's call it a James Bond villain mansion at the top of a hill in Switzerland, just giving it this all the way as if he was at the darts, as a team that should never be allowed in the Champions League, and certainly would never be allowed in the Super League. And Florentino's in his Palco in his private box or in the president's box at Real Madrid, and Sheffield going, there's your Super League up your Spanish backside, and can you just imagine it? Because this is the very thing that the Super League was meant to keep out, not just shocks, but like it's an invitational club, and nobody was ever going to go, well, Dob, I wonder if we should we Florentino, should we? No, Sheriff, thanks very much, goodbye. Look, on the game itself, I still testify that Sheriff did things that, for example, Celta tried to do at the Bernabeu. At the moment, Ancelotti has made retouches on Zidane's system, but one of the things that has not changed is that even though they play four at the back, it's effectively two, because the fullbacks are permitted, encouraged to play as wingbacks in a back four. So Carvajal is out, that makes a difference. Carvajal is a superior right back, if you say Nacho or Lucas, it was Nacho last night. But the fullbacks were dreadfully out of position for the first goal. When Cristiano, for example, also to combine with that, Real Madrid and Ancelotti talked about this in the press conference, don't press high at the park. They might press when you come to the halfway line or just beyond it. But teams get the chance to build up and think, no, I want the ball to go. And therefore, if a challenge is won in midfield, then suddenly there's freedom and you put it over the fullback's heads. And that's how the first goal came. The header from the man I've never heard of before, and I'm going to claim his name is unpronounceable, but Yatsiboev's header is beautiful, but Cristiano's cross is completely free. And teams in La Liga and Sheriff are a very wealthy club. They've got good scouting. They know that's how you unpick Madrid. If you can find the ball into the corner and behind the fullback, you'll have a cross. Alaba's got a walkabout, and Alaba, since he came from Bayern Munich, has been important, has been interesting, but he's definitely come, I'm a Bayern Munich player, I'm at Madrid now, I'm here to enjoy myself, not to be rigorous. Alaba's way out of position before Yatsiboev scores the header. And you'd love to say, for those who you know, you've described what happened at the end, everybody's looking at the result, think we're probably, they're chasing at 1-1, they're battering Sheriff's goalkeeper, who is Athanasiadis, the Greek, has a brilliant game. Saves one absolute rasper from Modric with his face. Full face save. On a night like that, you think, well, this is an FA Cup shock. This is all the ingredients. And what will happen is it'll be a breakaway goal. And it's not. And Real Madrid didn't play with massive authority about how to break the team down. They faced a Greek goalkeeper who was exceptional. When they lose, your point is good. They lose to Sebastian Dill's goal. He's a Luxembourg international. It's goal of the season so far, probably anywhere in Europe. It's extraordinary. It's not just everybody up for Madrid, the ball over the top and 1v1. It's remarkable. One-off, probably a goal like that. We're not going to see that from that player again at the Bernabeu in his lifetime. It was gorgeous to see because of the absolute disbelief in Sheriff's players, despite the fact that they played looking as if they thought they knew how to win it. The fact that they do 2-1 at the end of the game is what, for me, football's all about. It does the Champions League. Good to see shock results like that. And I couldn't get the image of UEFA's chief celebrating and sending a little raspberry to Florentino out of my head all night. It was pretty special. But yeah, if you played that game 100 times again, Real Madrid would win the majority of them.
Graham, do you mind me asking you, sorry, Ken here, you spoke about the Atletico team and the kind of strength and depth there. In relation to this present Real Madrid team, you mentioned Alaba there playing at centre-half. I believe he's been accommodated at the moment. Now, wouldn't strike me as that be his best position necessarily, but where's the fundamental problems in that present Real Madrid squad, and particularly the kind of starting 11? Where are the frailties that are going to prevent them from challenging probably in the Champions League against the likes of Manchester City and PSG? Where are the areas of the team that need investment and need strength? Because you look at it on the surface, Graham, you look at the team, the likes of Modric there, obviously Benzema, Kroos, and, you know, scattering the players, and they look reasonably strong, but clearly that's not the case. There isn't weaknesses within the squad. Where are they fundamentally, and where does Ancelotti need to spend going forward to get them back up to the level that they've been at previously?
Okay, I'd say the first thing would be that time has moved on and left some of Real Madrid's work behind. What we see when Bayern Munich or Dortmund, Haaland or the top English clubs play, there's now a blend of terrific strategy, terrific technical skills and power and pace. It feels to me as if that hybrid in the really leading, even if you just want to say Bayern and exclude Dortmund, but I think with Haaland up front, you include them. And you look at the way in which you guys cover the majority Premier League compared to other leagues in Europe, majority. And you'll see that they play with a tremendous pace and power, but with probably more strategy and more changes of formation and as much technical skill as at any time in our lives. That combination Real Madrid don't have. They're extremely good in terms of knowledge of how to get a win, playing under pressure. They have patches of individual brilliance, but Benzema's at an age where he's playing brilliantly. He's playing absolutely brilliantly, but he's at an age whereby that ability to sprint and beyond, that power and pace, that's not his thing. You look at the midfield when Kroos is back, which he came back last night, when Modric is in the team, when Casemiro's in the team, they're all extremely technically clever. They all can control the game if it's played at their pace, but none of them have got possessed that absolutely bursting physical pace and pressing and speed of delivery, and nor does the team play that way. So they're in Canute at the moment, sort of just trying to roll back the tide and say, no, you know, the king, you know, dresses like this, keep the waves back. And they're not going to be able to do that to win the Champions League, Real Madrid. They're addressing it with Camavinga, who's 18. So Camavinga is the type of footballer that they need to reproduce, and they need to give more responsibility to Valverde. But for example, Till's goal last night comes from an area where the ball's not pressed at the edge of the box, where Casemiro, had he been on, but I mean, he's exhausted. He played all summer for Brazil in the Copa America. He plays every game that he's available for Real Madrid. So in 66 minutes, Casemiro is taken off. He's not at the edge of the box where traditionally he cleans up. So there are lots of areas where, and Benzema is the number one goal threat. Vinicius is developing. Vinicius is extraordinary, but it's not just the Galactico idea that they want to buy Mbappe and Haaland. Now, whether they get both of them, please don't be mistaken. We talked about this just before the market closed. I said to the lads, look out, the market's not closed. They're going to desperately try and get Mbappe. They did. They'll have Mbappe signed up by January 4 next summer. They want Haaland too, whether they get him or not. It isn't simply Galactico ideas like, look, you know, we've got the best signs, we could be envy in the world. I don't particularly believe that Haaland will go to Madrid. But what they do need is an added goal threat. So right across the pitch. And for example, it's a new centre-half pairing without Varane, without Ramos. It's got potential, but Alaba's not particularly tall. Maybe you, Kenny, if I'm interpreting you right, you think he should be left-back. Ancelotti came out and said, he's my left centre-half. And they don't have another left-footed centre-half in the squad. So there's retouches to do everywhere, but the philosophy of how they play, I think it's fallen behind a little bit, Kenny.
Just want to quickly talk about tonight's game, and the spectre of Villarreal is something that has got a little bit of ghost now for Manchester United. So this isn't a game where they're going to be in any way complacent about what happens, particularly given the recent run of form. Nor should they be, because there's every chance that this game, Villarreal come and are very defensively solid and maybe aren't too ambitious about winning the actual match tonight. But that's where we've seen teams beat Manchester United, when you sit back and defend and hit them on the break. And that's exactly the you know, it's what Manchester United fear. So what are your level? How scared should Manchester United fans be about tonight?
One of the great things that both the Europa League final and the Super Cup final Belfast did for me was it was being allowed again to see the thing I obsess about, being allowed to see the training session. In the instance of the Belfast one where they trained second after Chelsea, it was a long, long session and you get to learn so much. Anybody who thinks that the fact that Villarreal could work out a draw against Manchester United across 120 minutes and then draw against the European champions, Chelsea, again, across 120 minutes, nobody should think it's a fluke. Unai Emery is not an out-and-out defence-only coach. That's not true. It's not a part of the bus coach. But he is obsessed about, you know, the way, and they call it basculation, which is, that's the scales, to make sure that there's an equilibrium across everywhere. And almost as if his players were roped together, which I know some coaches have done in the past. The way in which he coaches, the movements that everybody has to do to compensate for each other, to keep the line, to keep the spaces tight between men and tight between lines, the way in which he coaches that and intervenes and yells them through everything repeatedly is the reason why defensively they are quite a good team. When they don't have Gerard Moreno, they're less dangerous. They're less likely to win big matches. Danjuma, who you'd have covered a little bit for Bournemouth, I think, last season, looks very promising because he gives them what Diarra doesn't have, the new signing who combined for the goal against Chelsea. Even Gerard Moreno, who's an exceptional player, doesn't have this pace. Danjuma does have this pace. So, for my taste, Villarreal are not quite at their best at the moment. Dani Parejo is only just coming back from injury. And without Gerard Moreno, they're a lesser side. But the way in which they organise and hold and can play on the break to Danjuma is one of the threats, meantime, until they've come full strength again. Jeremy Pino is also a very good player and quicker than the other ones in terms of the break. So there are breaks. There are ways in which you could see Villarreal scoring. And it tends to be a draw between these two sides. But I still like watching Villarreal. I still like the way they try to pass the ball. They give a beautiful display at Bernabeu at the weekend, drawing 0-0 there. And listen, you might be out of time, but I don't want to leave the subject of the Champions League without talking about Benfica Barcelona, because the amount of debt that Barcelona are in is absolutely, absolutely horrendous. It isn't just the global debt and the 1.4 billion. It's the way in which debt and repayment of debt is affecting the club on a day-to-day basis. Half that squad are out there having taken massive wage cuts, either deferring payments or giving money back full-time forever to the club. They lost the first game against Bayern Munich. They're losing match day 6 in Munich. I keep saying that. I think it's true. That leaves, what, the 6 off 18? That's 12 points. If they lose in Lisbon, there's 9 points left to play for in the group. They'd have to have a 100% performance against Dinamo Kiev twice and at home against Benfica. At the moment, you couldn't bank on that happening. You can't always bank on 9 points seeing you through. Barcelona haven't been knocked out in the group stages since 2001. And the amount of money, you all know, the bean counters, if you look at going out in the group compared to even going through to the knockout round or the quarterfinals, you can be talking about a 60 million difference. If you go far in a tournament, you can be talking around 80 million euro difference. Barcelona cannot do without that money. The game in Lisbon against Benfica is of monumental importance. And if anybody's not doing it and doesn't already fancy seeing Villarreal match at Old Trafford, just tune in to Benfica against Barcelona and expect to see fear and loathing on the face of Ronald Koeman if they're losing that match. And also, last word for me, unless you've got another question, please, guys, all of you, Kenny, listeners, viewers, Gavi, I told you a year ago about Pedri. I got all frothy at the mouth and evangelical, and Pedri since then has played just about every single game that exists in the world, won the Spanish Cup, the Olympic silver medal, was semi-finalist in the European Championship. He's still 18. Gavi, slightly different style of playing, as exciting, as extraordinary. A month ago, he was 16. He is a phenomenon. Never, I don't think ever, not just in my memory, I don't think any club has ever given debuts to 17 and 18 year olds in the space of 2 years, like Ansu, Elish, Gavi, and Pedri. I don't think it's ever happened. They're custom made ready for elite football at 17 and 18. Gavi, watch him tonight. Extraordinary.
Graham, appetite suitably wet. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Cheers, Graham.
If Didier Deschamps were to leave and Zinedine Zidane were available, and he was not picked by the French Federation, the headquarters of the French Federation would have to look at what happened at the Bastille.
OTB AM, live, weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.